episode 4.
4.
Tonight, I am your host. My name is Aaron.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Arvin.
Yeah, just the three of us. We did meet up last week. And instead of recording, we ended up watching Next Level Chef. Great show.
Interesting concept.
Yeah, Arvin hadn't watched it, although on his Hulu account, someone had.
Everything.
All season one. I didn't even know there was a season one, so I started at season two. So, let's start off with weeks real quick. I guess it's been 2 weeks since our last recording.
Mm-hmm.
Arvin, how's your 2 weeks been?
They've been good. Just busy at work. I filed and got my tax return, so I cannot complain.
Golf clap.
My parents came back from India, and like a dumbass, I got to the airport cell phone parking lot at 5. At 5, and their flight landed at 5. I forgot about checking
bags
and all that.
Yep.
I was at the airport cell phone parking lot for 3 hours.
Yep, that makes sense.
Damn.
Because, I left my house at, 4 o'clock. It's like, fuck, I'm going to be late. I was the opposite of late.
Too early. That's also another problem.
Yeah. Would you rather be too late or too early?
Too early.
Too late.
Asians. Wayne, how was your 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, I might be able to get my car back next week.
Yay.
Depending. Yeah. So they called me. Should be going into paint this week. And when this episode comes out, that'll be the week that I should be able to get my car back. Hopefully.
There we go.
Nice.
And so insurance is covering most, if not all?
For the damage?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everything?
Nice.
Nice.
It was an act of God.
Would you park under a tree now after that, or just going to steer clear?
I don't know. I don't have any trees anymore.
Like, what if that happens again?
Oh.
Would it be sus, right?
Yeah.
Maybe God really just hates Wayne. You never know. Or Wayne's car, not Wayne. God loves you, Wayne.
But it's okay. I have a Ring camera turning out my car, so I should be good. Should be good.
Cool. Well, I've had an eventful 2 weeks. Went to Seattle for about a week, actually. Stayed at an Airbnb. Airbnb was like the location where it was. Kind of weird. Like, I didn't enjoy it. Kind of sus. But it was central to everything there.
Mm-hmm.
And inside was great.
What made it sus?
It was in a weird... So, like, it was near an underpass. And so when we were arriving with our, from the airport, their Uber, we saw a bunch of homeless people and
some crackheads.
Yeah, I mean, I can't assume what they were doing, but like, it just didn't look great. Looked a little grimy, but then inside the building was nice. So there's that.
See, you can't judge on appearances.
Yeah. I went to this Starbucks roastery where like they can make the alcoholic beverages and pretty neat. Got to try a lot of Thai food. And then on Friday, I rented a car. It was a Polestar electric vehicle. And I went all the way down to Tacoma, came up through Bellevue and then like Kirkland area, Redmond. So I went all around.
Do you visit Costco?
No. No. Incredibly nice area. And when I rented the car, they told me that I had to charge it to where I found it or rented it. It was at 89%, which means it essentially needed a full battery charge. And so I drove the car. I mean, the Polestar handles really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dual motor non-performance package, but it honestly doesn't need it.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. And so once we were done for the day, and I had the rental for until the morning, but I wanted to return it that night.
Mm-hmm.
So there I am looking for chargers in Seattle. And I found a really fast charger. Like level 3.
Supercharger.
Yeah, supercharger essentially. And I had to drive out like pretty much 5 miles out of Seattle. And then navigation got lost. And it looked kind of janky. It looked like what, you know, when you get to Oakland and you get to that, like around Broadway.
Yeah.
Right before you get to Alameda,
mm-hmm.
the area. That's what it reminded me of.
A little industrial.
Very industrial. Like, there's train tracks everywhere. And so I found, finally, after like 15 minutes of driving and all these one ways, I found the fast charger, the EVgo. And I saw that the cable was snapped. It was out of service.
Mm-hmm.
So the other quote-unquote fast charger, it wasn't as fast as that one, was in Seattle proper, like in downtown, at a Whole Foods. So I had to pay for parking, you know, for the Whole Foods lot, go down there, and then pay for the charge for the EVgo. And that was a nightmare. I think I spent like $30 just trying to get it back to 89%.
Would you say you were sleepless in Seattle?
It was already nighttime. We were trying to get back to the Airbnb, and it was just like, man, like this is... The good thing is where I picked up the rental was only like 3 blocks from the Airbnb, like walking.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
So that wasn't so bad. But finding the charger, that sucked. And the charging experience really sucked. And that's what I wanted to talk about is, you know, I own an electric car, 2022 Bolt EUV. The charge rate on that car is slower than most.
Mm-hmm.
And the company, I don't know if I mentioned it, I rented from Hertz because it's like the cheapest. They offered Bolt EUVs. But imagine being in my situation where you had to return the battery where you found it. And I know knowing my car, like it would have taken me like maybe 3 hours instead of 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
To Can charge you prepay?
What do you
Just
mean?
Just like gas? You know, you can prepay gas. Can you prepay for electric?
I don't know. So I reserved it because I reserved it through Uber, actually. It was pretty convenient. So Uber, while I was on my way from the airport to the Airbnb, I got an offer through Uber. And then like a Nissan Sentra was $130 a day. But a Pulsar was $80 from Hertz.
They're pushing
And I was like, yeah, I'm going. Yeah. I'm going to rent a Polestar. So I don't know if they have that offer. But anyway, I was just like, man, like imagine someone who wants to drive an electric car for the first time. They rent one. They happen to rent an EUV. They have to bring back the car with that, you know.
That charge state.
Like they're damn like looking for it. And if they don't have like an app specifically for finding chargers like PlugShare or even just Electrify America, ChargePoint, EVgo.
You're screwed.
You're shit out of luck.
Yeah.
So I started thinking about that. I was like, man, like, and then another addition is that it takes a while to do the handshake for electric chargers. Like what it means is like you can plug in your car, but you still have to go through the payment method.
Mm-hmm.
You have physical cards. You could also do contactless payment with these apps, but it still takes a while. And so that was kind of a nightmare, and I'm just like, man, I'm just glad I know here where I can charge my car, and if I was back at home, I could just plug in, and we're set. And I started thinking about that. And I want to talk about what are the drawbacks of owning a Tesla? Because I know we share some thoughts on Tesla, so I want to hear you guys about what you guys have to say about that.
Price fluctuations. I think that's one thing that would make a lot of consumers pissed. Let's say you buy your nice little Model 3, Y, X, 7, whatever. You spend, you know, 50, 60 on that bitch. Next week, it's 40 grand. Like, you know, that's something that would tick me off. Like, you're saying, why is this commodity, why is the price so wishy-washy? That build quality. I also know that their concierge service is kind of like difficult to work with. The user experience of the car as well. And I like gauge clusters, and I don't like that about Teslas.
Yeah, gauge clusters is definitely a pretty cool, almost necessary thing to have.
Right.
Wayne, what do you feel about Teslas?
So the concept of Teslas is really nice. I mean, if you look at electric cars by itself, Tesla's done a lot for the electric community. Pushing electric cars, pushing electric stations. So I would feel the concept of what they're trying to do is a really good thing, trying to push a lot of people towards electric cars. But at the same time, you hear a lot of things about their quality, the way that they ride. And it really comes down to it's a new company, so it's pretty hard to compare that to like Ford, even though Ford has never really made electric cars, but they still have the background that they've made cars for like, I don't know, decades.
So my only counterpoint to that is like, I get that Tesla's a new car company and they should, rightfully so, right? But sometimes there's just claims made, it's like, oh, this is the best built car, right? Like, oh, this is the best car ever, right? That's sort of like, you know, Elon Musk's like, my car is better than yours, when it's clearly not. And pretty much how Tesla's marketing is just Elon Musk. So that's another thing. It's like, I mean,
he's done a really good job just by himself.
Yeah. He's essentially, yeah. His Twitter is Tesla's fucking marketing team. So, yeah, I'd have to just argue against that. It's like, build quality is excusable, but if you're, you know, touting it and saying, oh, this is the greatest shit since like fried bread, sliced bread.
Fried bread.
Yeah.
Oh, that's something new.
Yeah. You know what? We should try that. But anyways, yeah, back to my point. It's just like, you can't say like, oh, you're the best when you have like markable faults. And then when people bring up said faults, you just kind of like, oh no, that's just a one-off thing. Like your steering wheel falling off.
Yeah.
Okay. Why are so many Teslas being sold versus all the other legacy manufacturers? Because I think, to take your point, I think Tesla's a software company first.
Right.
Tesla is a software company.
Right. They just happen to make cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the other way around for these legacy brands. I mean, I like the way my car drives. I like the way it looks inside. It offers a lot for its money. And I'm sure it's the same thing for like the Pulsar I drove and a Volvo or any other, you know, the Ford Mustang Mach-E. Yet the biggest frustration I had that night was infrastructure. Because if you're in the know, then you know about these plugs, like the app called PlugShare, which can, instead of having these fragmented apps where you have to check the nearest charger, like if you're looking for a charge point charger, you're looking at through the charge point app, PlugShare just takes that all in one. But it's not everyone knows
everyone's
that.
Charger.
Not everyone knows that.
No.
So like, you know how they say like problems only emerge when you're like, so somebody realized like that's a problem, hence why PlugShare probably came into fruition, right? So I feel like, so when you're buying an electric car, you're going to start doing research, right? Before you buy the car, you're going to want to figure out, oh, what charging station works for me? Let's be honest, electric cars are really designed for commuting to and from work. You know that your work has a charging station, right? You'll be like, okay, I have some more like, you have some more like a safety in your mind. You're like, okay, yeah, that's good. I can go to work, charge the car there. Grocery shopping, you're not driving 200 miles to go grocery shopping, right? So in that sense, like, I feel like consumers, they're educated, and the salespeople will coach them into that thinking as well. So I think that's a like an argument against the infrastructure thing, but I do agree. If you want to take, like, my parents want to take their Polestar down to LA, but that's a logistical nightmare.
Yeah. It wouldn't be, for one word, supercharger. Because Tesla had so much put in for infrastructure before anything else, and since it's a closed loop system, what I mean by that is, if you own a Tesla,
going to a supercharger.
You're going to a supercharger. The drawback is if superchargers weren't readily available.
Mm-hmm.
But they are. And the best part is they had one of the most convenient ways to just plug and charge.
Mm-hmm.
A couple days ago, I decided to go to my local EVgo station, fast charging, to get a quick charge while my wife did some grocery shopping. And so I opened up my EVgo app. Wow, this is going to be slander against them. There's four units. There's four chargers there. And this is the day where it was like really windy and cold. So I'm out there. She takes 20 minutes to do the grocery shopping. I hadn't gotten a lick of charge in that time because my car wouldn't communicate with the charger. So I backed up and went to the next unit and so on and so forth. I tried, I have the physical card. I swiped it, didn't work. Did the contactless, like through my app, didn't work. I swiped my debit card to pay by card. It didn't work. So I was feeling very like cold, stressed, stranded.
Angry.
And then the next day I decided where my wife works, there's some free chargers. They're not as fast. And then those didn't work. Like it said, charge cord connected. But it wasn't charging. So it identified that there's that it was connected and, did the handshake.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing was happening. And later on, I saw that on the screen is like, charge will commence when power is available. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's weird.
So then...
it goes back to infrastructure.
Yeah, I started thinking about that. And then...
Well, just let me posit this. Do you think maybe the car might also be an issue?
So, okay. Mm-hmm. So then tonight. Tonight I went to the same place for grocery shopping. And I opened up the app. And charged fine. I got a fast charge. Mm-hmm. Same unit I went to. And then I realized that all the other units were taken. And there's this guy who comes in a Kia EV.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes out the CHAdeMO plug, the adapter. Mm-hmm. So there's like the CCS, which is what everyone charges with. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everyone. And the CHAdeMO, it's just Mitsubishi and Nissan. And so he tries plugging that in with my unit. Like, I'm already paying for the charger itself.
Nice.
And so I'm like, hey, like, you got to use this cable, but, it's currently in use. And he's like, oh, yeah, I just came from Dallas. I have 3 miles left on my battery.
Jesus.
Yeah, I flew in. I rented this car, and we need to get to somewhere because I guess they had, like, a funeral to go to the next day. And I was like, dude, I understand your pain. And so he didn't understand, like, there's two different cables and how long it was going to take to charge. And that's when I realized, like, oh, and then he couldn't set the payment once we find a charger for him. So he tried downloading the EVgo app. It wouldn't connect. Then he swiped his American Express because it only took Discover or American Express. I was like, okay, that's fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the two... Discover and American Express are probably like the two card companies that are
least accepted.
They're least popular.
Yeah. Like, you would say like Visa and MasterCard would be there. But anyway, that's beside the point. So dude was stressed. And then I was like, look, my wife's coming back. You can just take my unit right after I'm done. No problem. I helped set him up. And, I told him like, hey, if you drive a Tesla... Like, you literally just plug it in, and it starts charging. Like, we don't have to have this whole, like, you have to have the app or a physical card. Sometimes the payment card isn't, up to snuff, right?
So it's the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
newer cars have that feature where you can just plug and play.
My car doesn't do that.
Yeah. So not every car has that feature. Some cars do. Some of the Audis do. Not all of them do.
I think what's going to happen is the European Union is going to come into play and try to... they will force a standardization amongst all cars.
Yeah, just like with the whole USB-C, right?
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Okay.
We just have to pray to the European gods to that it happens sooner than later.
I think if you're driving any electric vehicle and it's your first car and you're not even sure what the hell, like, I just charge at home. You go on like a, you know, 100-mile trip and you're trying to get back home.
You're stressed.
Yeah, you're stressed out not because of the range, but because you don't know what charger.
How to charge.
And how to charge it. Or even how to find it. Mm. And what these levels are, like the fast charging, slow charging. It's a lot of complications.
Yeah, DC, AC.
But you don't have that when you're driving a Tesla. Because you just literally put on your navigation. You could do that with any EV car, right? But...
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Neil, like, because the Polestar, it has charge points. It'll map out a route for you with the charging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, mine does it too. But even then, like, the service, like, if you report a station being down at a charge point versus, you know, versus a supercharger,
mm-hmm.
like, what gets fixed first?
Probably supercharger.
And just the level of, like, that closed loop. That closed loop community of like, we need the charging
right
to be convenient process, but and it makes it so.
Did I think I'm pretty sure I read that supercharger networks, they're going to start like providing adapters, right?
Yeah,
so that opens up that.
So, what does that mean? No, not literally physically, what I mean, but it means that someone did it so right. And they're readily available.
Mm-hmm.
That they're just opening it up. It's like, look, we're just done with the competition, and like, it's missed the benchmark.
Right.
Because the benchmark and why everyone else is coming to Tesla Superchargers is because they know it works. All you need is an adapter. Later on, I think if they had to pick one plugin, it would probably be like the CCS. So like Teslas would only charge that way without an adapter,
mm-hmm.
or the other round, which is everyone gets around to how the Tesla's adapter works.
Yeah, I think that just boils down to the majority, right? With the USB-C argument, right? There were way more devices using USB.
Yeah.
USB, whatever. So that's, I think, what's going to be the determining factor of what plug gets used.
CCS is a supercharger.
Yep. Yeah, so it just uses the two prongs on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need an adapter, like if you're coming in from a non-Tesla.
Yeah.
Yeah, to use their adapter.
Yeah.
But you, like square rectangle, right? But you can charge Tesla at a non-Tesla.
Right.
Because, well, yeah. Tesla is always, they all come with adapters.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's been frustrating. It's been a frustrating experience. And I'm someone who I think is in the know. So I can't imagine if they're going to mandate that, you know, you can only buy electric cars. It's going to be a huge, I mean, besides all the energy needed for it and the demand for the grid.
We can't do it.
Just literally the headache of the user experience to charge the car is already like a roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest frustration. Not so much like, because people are going to pay, like right now with the gas prices, they're going to pay if it's out the ass, right? Because they have to get to work, they have to commute, buy groceries, like you mentioned, Arvind.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, whatever. They'll complain about the price. But I think they'll complain most about like, okay, I pull up, you know, in my Nissan Leaf, and the only thing that's available is superchargers and charge point, and they don't offer the specific
cable
for it, and so they're shit out of luck. I mean, if you own a towing company, that's going to be you're going to find a lot of electric vehicles stranded because they just couldn't find one, the right cable for them, and two, a working station.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it is what it is.
I agree, but with all things in its infancy, right? You got to have these teething problems before you really can figure out what's happening.
I don't think we're in beta mode anymore with electric cars, though.
I'd argue we are.
If you sell a certain amount of units like the problem I had this year with my taxes is that, you know, GM and Tesla sold so much, they ran out of the federal tax incentive for last year, which means there's a lot of electric cars already out there. You know, at least here in California, we can say that's true.
It's the infrastructure that we don't have.
It's the infrastructure.
Yeah, is that not a heating problem?
I mean, I guess so.
It's just a West Coast problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if we don't have it here, like, imagine buying an electric car in, like,
Delaware.
Michigan or Delaware.
East Coast is perfectly fine. So it comes down to a couple factors, right? I mean, California is where tech is all at, with Tesla and all the charging stations in California by itself. But California electrical system or power grid is pretty much not the best, especially when we have wildfires or if we have really, really strong winds.
It got cold the other day and they are like, yeah, we're going to do power outages.
Yeah.
Right. It's snowing over here.
I know. Yeah. Just so flurries, and it's like, oh, yeah, these roads are closed down. Yeah.
So it's funny that California wants to go green, but at the same time, they don't want
was it last
nuclear
year?
Power plants.
Yeah, it was last year where Governor Newsom was like, don't charge your cars over the weekend. Was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he said that.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so California can't really make up their mind. So just like the East Coast, I think, has like 3 or 4 nuclear reactors.
3 Mile.
We have one here, Mount Diablo.
Yeah, that's the only one,
though. That's the only one.
And that's not enough.
It's definitely not enough.
Yeah.
I think we're going to go towards
it. Here's the issue I have. As an electric car owner, I don't like the mandate. I like driving an electric car because I chose to buy an electric car. Because, you know, it's smooth, less maintenance. But I don't have a problem with ICE engines. Or ICE cars, I should say. But having everyone get on board, and it's not even better for the environment. Like,
oh yeah,
like you can't recycle batteries. You have to mine the minerals to make it.
The thought about it.
Who's mining those?
The thought.
Who's mining those exactly?
African children.
And the tariffs involved with mining, and bringing in the fucking battery for my car is Korean. Everything else is American, but
U.S.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry, Wayne.
Yeah, but they're all probably mining from the same place.
Yeah. There's only like 3 or 4 big manufacturers that are making the batteries anyway.
And they're also not even supposed to be mining.
Yeah. Panasonic, LG, and there's 2 other ones, I forget. So I think the solution, well, not even solution, but like the whole battery problem, China, I think, is going to help solve that. Unfortunately, because we couldn't figure out, because they're gonna make, you know, they're gonna do all the dirty work, and they're gonna bring electric cars like en masse. I mean, that's what happened with solar panels, right? Like, you had a solar company right here in Fremont, literally where Tesla was at, and they went bankrupt because China sold solar panels cheaper than.
There was also a lot of internal fuckery happening at
I don't even want to talk about Obama.
My boy Obama?
Yeah, what he did with that company. But yeah, we're not ready for it, and there should not be a mandate for it. And I'm speaking out of experience of an electric car owner. I think you should buy an electric car if you want one, not because you have to.
Mm-hmm.
They're great cars, but I'm not doing the planet Earth any justice, and that's not the reason why I bought my car.
Yeah. Fuck, I can't say that out loud. Might have to bleep this out, but as a trans car electric car owner, right? I just couldn't. I'm like still in that middle period. I can't go the full way. I can't snip it off, you know? Like,
I'm keeping all that in, just saying.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah, Arvin has all the genders.
Yeah, I have everything. Like, and that's what makes me feel safe, because it's just like, yo.
You can't get canceled that way.
You're right. If I am everything, I am nothing.
But that was my rant, and that's why I was like, because, you know, I don't even want to mention it to my wife, but I was like, man, like, all these frustrations, maybe like the foresight would have been, maybe I should have gotten a Model Y. And I don't like the quality issues. I don't like the ride quality. I don't like the fact that it doesn't have gauges.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stupid interior choices. and the lack of interior options. Like, it's just not a car.
It's a computer on wheels.
But the reason why they're selling so much is because it's a very convenient purchase once you do. The experience is, you're buying for the experience.
It's just like an Apple.
Yeah, exactly.
Minus the quality, though.
Yeah, that's well, now not so much. I don't know. Now I think we could be on par with Tesla and Apple.
Yeah.
Not sponsored.
I just don't want to be seen driving in a Tesla. That's another thing. Like, you know, Indian dude in a Tesla, that's a bad look already.
That's true. And then I think about how I don't give a shit what people think about me, too.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, you also don't want to be like, oh, you drive a Tesla?
Yeah.
And do a little grimace. And I'm like, the fuck you drive a 2002 Honda Accord? And I'm like,
that's still cool.
I just gave you shit for that, but then I shouldn't have given you shit for that because that's a pretty cool car.
Yeah. That's the Tesla owner's paradigm, right? Like,
so, yeah.
I mean, with Teslas, it's a really, as a commuter car, it's probably the best thing you can possibly get.
Yeah.
Simply because for commuting, you're going from point A to point B. Charging stations are pretty much everywhere.
I don't know, man. That Volvo C40 looks real good.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like the infrastructure that we have here in the West Coast alone, we only have one nuclear power plant, which is pretty much what? It can't really power, can barely power California.
All right.
Especially if we're going to have more.
Hear me out. I have an idea. Last call garage. Nuclear power plant.
Yeah, I've been a big proponent for nuclear. It's incredibly safe, practically renewable.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, and there's like fucking atoms everywhere, right? You look, you're gonna find some shit.
You find some Johns there too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The East Coast can withstand it, even though they have like blizzards and micro chills and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, California has a wildfire, and pretty much anything is down.
Yeah.
Like,
it's true.
New York has blizzards, but people are still going out.
Right.
Right.
I mean, even with solar energy, one, you should buy your solar panels, not lease them.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you own the energy you produce.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more people get solar panels, it's helping your neighbors with the grid. Because it's less power necessary, right, for your
coursing through though.
Yeah, and what's cool is that later on, hopefully, we can just send units. Like, if you send like 200 kilowatts to your neighbor,
right? Instead of asking for a rise, hey, you got any?
Let's say your payments for a solar panel are like, I don't know, $200 a month.
You start slinging energy.
You start slinging energy, right? And you get your tax write off for doing that. You can report as income, sure.
Right.
But then you also can sell it back to the energy provider, in our case PG&E, for off-peak hours. That's another thing. People come back home after work at like 5 p.m., 5:30, exactly when off-peak hours are active.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's the dumbest thing. So then why don't you just make your own energy, sell it, or give it back to, you know, your energy provider so they can rely less on other shit.
Right. I mean, Aaron, you really are just championing my argument of us opening up a nuclear power plant.
If you had a nuclear power plant, which I imagine would be incredibly difficult.
Nah. How hard can it be? Deep in Russia.
Your biggest headache would be storage, right? How much capacity you can take.
I just think it's really funny for Californians that we don't want nuclear power plant, but we want to go straight to electric.
Yeah, the other day I was watching a video on someone trying to charge their Hummer EV and they got stranded because they went to three or five different charging stations. They were all down. And then by the time he ended up charging, it was more than he would spend on gas for his Tahoe.
Jesus.
And that's now. Like, imagine if there's, you know, double the amount of electric cars out.
Right.
In the U.S., the prices are going to go up. And then suddenly it's going to be worse than gas prices because, you know, you're going to have to wait to charge your car, but you're also going to be charged more for it. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a stupid slope we're running into. Every day we stray further from God.
Hey, that's from Spy Kids, right?
I don't know, but that's a lovely line.
Yeah. But I don't know. See, the problem is about electric cars is that if I did go the electric way, I would still want a gas car.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The electric car would be like your commuter, right? Or to and from work or to and from the grocery store. But if I want to go, let's say, L.A. tomorrow, I don't have to worry about charging it, making sure it's fully charged. With the gas car, I can just stop at the gas station all the way there.
Right.
And go. I tell people that if you're thinking about going on longer distances, it's something that you have to plan out. Because it's not like a gas car. You can't just hop in and start driving. Because you have to plug it in, plan.
Stop for 40 minutes, eat lunch. I don't want to do that. If I'm on a road trip, I want to get to where I want to be.
That's true. Here's the other route, though. If the charging experience was, it's everywhere, and you're on a road trip, if you want to get there as fast as you can, you're flying.
True.
Right? You can also rent a car. So like if I'm doing a Disneyland trip.
Or if you just want stress free.
But having another car would mean insurance, payments, unless you're getting a used car.
That's true.
But the road trip experience with an electric car could provide a benefit of like not sitting on your fucking ass for 8 hours straight. Like you're actually getting out, getting a little stretch, do some fucking yoga while you're waiting. Do some reading.
Take a nap.
Right, get some rest. But also, I definitely see the other side of the coin. When I go to LA, I'm like, let's get the fuck there already.
Yeah. I don't want to spend more than 8 hours in a car.
So that, yeah, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a two-sided story. You're talking about planes. You're trying to get electric planes, too. That's just another stressor on the power grid.
Just get me what is that called? A train. Just give me a bullet train, just straight down LA.
Well, yeah, trains are the amazing. Most efficient way of travel, let's be honest.
Trains are cool, man.
Yeah.
Like, imagine just BART. You just hop on BART and just go straight down.
Fuck BART.
Yeah, what he said.
What's wrong with BART?
Okay, here you go. Another rant. I know we're not, let's say, political, right?
Degenerates.
All right, if you have a private company building a bullet train, they're going to get it done. They're going to charge you for the service. If you have a public entity...
That's going to take like a decade.
Yeah. Because cars stop all the time. There's the incentive to keep BART running versus a company that's private are two different goals. One's a customer, the other one's a rider, a commuter.
Fuck the commuter, right?
You get there when we tell you can get there. Right? It might come 5 minutes later. It might come like... That's the thing with Japan. Like, if they're off by a minute, things are fucked up.
Yeah.
But they're always on time.
But that's government pushing for that. Like, you'd have to have legislation.
We don't have that here in the U.S.
Just go find some Japanese politicians, bring them over here, right? Problems solved.
In Japan, they'll also shove you into the train. Here, if you shove someone in the train, there's a lawsuit.
Yeah, but it's like, usually it's a government official that's shoving you into a train.
Oh, yeah, that's even bigger.
It's different etiquette. That's just cultural thing, right? Like
that's an even bigger lawsuit.
In Japan, in trains, like, everyone's, like, pretty much quiet. Like, you can't. Hold the conversation, and you're not supposed to eat. Also,
yeah, you're not supposed to eat or talk on trains. Yeah.
BART half sign says you can't eat on train, and you always see fucking like Snapple bottles or
got people fucking.
Dude, someone here, he's got a fucking white cloth laid out on a table. Yeah, dude, lobster dinner. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's not great.
But the thought of trains going down LA, amazing. Like,
I mean, we do have Amtrak.
Yeah. Well, LA had
Amtrak go all the way down LA?
Amtrak goes everywhere. It's just ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, they have this whole, what is it?
So Amtrak can't...
Continental Pass?
Mm-hmm.
Which I've always wanted to do.
But it's so expensive.
Yeah, it's like a 5-day trip. You can get from here to, like, I don't know, Missouri. you wanted to, and you just stop by.
How much is that?
I forget. It was like $500.
Can you imagine doing a podcast on
that? I mean, that is like my wet dream.
I will say, though, Amtrak trains sponsored. Not sponsored. Unbiased opinion, actually. Amtrak trains were, it's one of the most calming, beautiful experiences I ever had. And I just went to Sacramento.
That shit's a busing, as the kids would say.
It is. There's tables. They have proper food there.
You could get a suite. Essentially, let's say you were doing this Continental tour. You could have your own room.
Yep.
With the toilet and a shower in it. You have a dinner cart. And you can walk up and down, right? Like, and I believe they have special carts where you can just sit and watch the scenery.
Is that just like Caltrain?
No. Caltrain's more of like a BART.
Yeah.
Amtrak's like, we need to transport shit, also people.
Yeah.
And we're going to do transport people. We're going to do it right.
Yeah. But the problem with Amtrak, right? There's like 5 or 6 railway companies that own all the railways. And Amtrak has to like ask for permission to use those railways because they're privately owned. Amtrak's not private, is it?
I don't know. All I know is that the experience was amazing. I had a great trip. It's always going to take longer than driving, but I mean, they have tables there. You can chat with your friends. You can do some work. It's been a while since I've ridden an Amtrak, but
it's a state company.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a state company?
It's a for-profit company owned by the state.
Amtrak.
Yeah. In India, right, trains are supreme. Like, you want to get somewhere, you can use a plane, but trains are nice. And they have first-class seats in trains. Bro, you're chilling.
Yeah.
Oh, is it the USA Rail Pass?
Yeah, that's it.
There's a Travel Across America Pass.
Yeah. That's the one, yeah. So when I went to my offsite back in September, I was debating on whether I wanted to do that, which would take, like, 3 days, versus, you know, a 6-hour flight.
Yeah.
And I was really considering it. I was like, man, this is a good time. Like, I'd be on myself in the train, get to explore the cities. And I just figured, you know what? Nah, I just moved in here.
Yeah, right.
Let me just get out there and come back. But like, next time, I think I will take the train.
I think you should. Like, just have that experience, right? It's worth it.
I'll vlog it.
No, dude, we'll just come with you.
Actually, it's $500. The pass is valid for 120 days.
I did last year. I went to sleep pretty often, almost every night, to this guy in Japan who would showcase the train experiences.
I know who you're talking about, right? Like, yeah. he does all these first class train experiences, yeah,
and
whatever.
And I was like, man, that's so cool. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
Did you see the one where like it was like a split level train almost, right?
I might have seen it, but
yeah,
he has so many videos now.
He does. He also does boat videos, I think, too.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he does, like, because, you know, Japan's a series of islands for those who did not know. And you can take boats from island to island. And it's very similar to the whole train thing where it's you have your suite and all that stuff.
So but you mentioned trains just because it would be a better option than, like, if you had to do the stops and things like that.
And you can move a lot more people.
Yeah, you could do a train instead of having an electric car.
Right.
That's true. But options are cool, you know, having options.
That's true. But in terms of, like, long-distance travel that you know is going to take a little while, why not? Why not train it?
Yeah, I think, truthfully, I would rather rent a car. If I want to drive there and in the fastest way possible, I wouldn't have to pay insurance on it, having a second vehicle. You know, in apartment life, I wouldn't have to pay for another parking spot. So, it's high upfront cost, but, like, how often do you need to rent a car?
Yeah, not often.
So then, just make the most of it, right? Get a little fucking Cadillac Escalade, you know, just...
Get the full insurance, you know, and fucking drive over cliffs. Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my rant, my experience... And why I think we should, well, I think cut Tesla some slack, even though they should fix their quality issues.
No.
But if they could be more of a car company than a software company,
They might get somewhere.
They might get somewhere. Yeah, because yeah. it's the user experience driving that sucks. Everything else is incredibly convenient. It's an appliance. It's literally what it is.
And make the cars look better.
Yeah, they're kind of ugly, man.
Yeah, and fire Elon Musk.
Elon. I didn't mention this, and I've been talking a lot. I got a new cat.
No way. The one that's been running around?
Yeah. So the day after we got back from Seattle, we got a cat. He was 2 months old when we got him. It's been 2 weeks now, so he's almost 3 months. I've had this thing, I guess you would call it intuition. I bite my tongue when I say it. Of when I see something and I want it named, the name just appears. For example, there's a crow that comes out around here and hangs out. And then my wife was like, hey, look, it's the same crow. It's like, oh, dude, it's Simon. And she was like, that's the perfect name. Maybe it's just my wife hyping me up. Anyway, I saw this guy and I was like, hey, that's a piccolo. And I heard that name because, let me give you some context. When I got my dog back in 2012, he was incredibly small. I mean, he could fit in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought he looked like a chump. And so I named him Chump. This guy named him Piccolo because a cool nickname for him would be Pico.
Mm-hmm.
And we always nickname, you know, Melody's Moshi. And this guy's Pico. But Piccolo also means, like for Italians, how they say chump. Like little boy or... like a,
he is a little boy.
Like a nickname, yeah. Like a nickname for a kid. Like a young'un.
Right, right.
So
Dragon Ball Z is.
Yeah. Here, okay, hold on.
You signed up for this, okay?
I've not watched Dragon Ball Z. So I don't know what Piccolo is. I don't know if I like the character or not.
Okay, Piccolo, just crash course. I think you need to know this. He's a green alien that raised Goku's...
I know what he looks like. I just...
But he's humongous.
Yeah.
But, okay. But there's also a second reason why I decided to call him Piccolo. See, all of our cats have been a musical component. First cat was Symphony. This one's Melody. And he is Piccolo, which is an Italian flute. It's a very small flute. Actually, I don't even think it's Italian.
Yeah, it's just a musical instrument.
Just a musical instrument. And so it was just very fitting. So yeah, that's Piccolo. A big stress we had with him was, you know, when is he going to acclimate to the environment, to his new environment? 30 minutes. As soon as we got him, he was basically purring and whatever. The problem we had was our old cat, Melody, has taken a while to adapt.
She's staring at us judgmentally right now.
Oh, she does that.
Yeah. Well, okay.
She's like that. But they're doing fine now, much better. And so tonight's the first night that Piccolo is not sleeping in his cage. So I'll let y'all in on how that goes tonight.
Yes, you might be covered in scratches.
I did get scratched up the other day because he has this bad habit of when I'm working, he gets on the couch and then he jumps into my office chair, i.e. my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And so he likes being there around my neck. And so sometimes while I'll be standing up and he's on the couch, he'll just jump at me and uses whatever grip he has.
Which is a kitty sharp claw
grip.
Which is
his claws. To get to my shoulders. And so he scratched me up on my chest pretty bad with his hind legs.
He's so cute. So it's
but he's incredibly cute, so.
Yeah, I
can't fault him. Yeah. Let me see if he purrs on the... Try and make him purr. Nope. He's very quiet today.
Very soft cat. No. Don't do that.
Let's see if you can hear him, actually.
Interesting words from Piccolo. Tell us, what do you think? Oh.
Yeah?
And what do you think about the conflict in North Korea? Okay. Really? I did not know you had that to think about the Geneva Convention.
All right, you can't say that racist shit around. Getting you out of here. Yep.
Cute, adorable.
Well, we're gonna call it a night. Thanks for listening to Last Call Garage. Make sure you give us a quick rating wherever you're listening to. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podnod. Give us 5 out of 5 stars. Leave a comment. We value your feedback. So, in fact, if you want to get us like some ideas, our Discord's up on our Instagram at Last Call Garage. You can also send feedback at lastcallgarage@gmail.com. And then tell us, how do you feel about Tesla?
Yeah. I like that.
That's it for me.
Thank you all for listening. Good night.
Good night, y'all.